Hey, this is Beth from the Gun Blog Variety Cast, reminding y'all that this podcast is a member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out all the other great podcasts at selfdefenseradio.net.
You're listening to the Renzo Republic.
Welcome back to the one, the only Remsa Republic podcast, broadcasting you from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia, coast to coast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back for all of you who've been hanging around for a while. And for all those new fans, do me a favor. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Remso101. That's R-E-M-S-O-101. Follow me there for all of new updates. And, you know, welcome. We've got a great show ahead for all of you. For those of you that have been tuning in for a while, Auto Radio, LRN.FM, Deplorable Radio, all those awesome syndicators, you guys rock, especially because you're listening to us at like 3 in the morning. But hey, you're awesome in the process. And for all those new listeners, I just want to catch you up to speed in like, I don't know, not even 20 seconds. We've got one mission, especially this season. Each season, we try and do something a little bit more unique to drive the narrative, to reward people that go ahead and listen to all episodes. But it's something that really kind of took us from where we started to where we are now to where we're going. And it's very simple. It's ultra cheesy, kind of a ripoff. A little stupid, but hey, it gets to the point really fast and we can laugh in the process. It's this one thing that we try and do very well each and every time. We want to make freedom fun again. I'm talking about the ability to go ahead and say, hey, I want to use my car and my off time to make some money taxiing people around. Hey, I think my kids should be able to go on the front lawn and open up a lemonade stand. Hey, I want to go ahead and go in my backyard or my giant, you know, 10-acre property and shoot a bunch of guns. When you don't hurt people and you don't take their stuff and you don't use the government as a violent middleman or loan shark in the process, we can all get along just fine and have fun in the process, because what's the point of living if you're not enjoying life? So I want to kind of talk about that. You know, if you're part of the Remsa Republic Nation, it's our private fan group. You know, I'm here and there, and I, you know, a lot of you message me and you give me tips for the show, and I've implemented that over time. But one thing I've been getting since very early on in the show, we're only about a year and a half old. The Remsa Republic is just a baby, but I don't want to fall into the trap that some other libertarian podcasts do, not because I want to just really branch out, but because I don't believe in, you know, repeating the same conversation over and over again. But there's this one topic that some of you have been bringing up for a while that I just didn't want to bring it up because I thought some of you would be bored of it and some of you might be upset with how I come about it. But I've never had that key, very token Ron Paul episode. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Dr. Paul. I mean, he's one of my heroes. But, you know, truth be told, I got a lot of crap early on in my, you know, little measly blogger days because I was not a fan of Rand Paul because of how, not what he was doing, but how he was doing certain things. And I've been very vocal about the areas where I disagree with Ron Paul. And it's not that I have anything against them, but when you go ahead and you disagree with them on something, people go ahead and think that you hate them and you're against everything. I just didn't really think it was that important to bring up. But, you know, when it comes to making freedom fun again, I think we need to go back to the roots of what made it fun in the first place. And the guy that, you know, has brought a lot of us here, to much chagrin, I've very openly said, even though I'm not a big fan of him, that I was brought in by Gary Johnson. You know, I came in around the 2012 election when I really started getting involved in politics. And Ron Paul, for me, I mean, I just didn't get where he was coming from. He didn't have the snappy one-liners. He didn't talk to me like, you know, at the time I was like 17, 18, like somebody that could understand that level of where he's coming from. And Johnson just kind of, you know, cut straight to the point. I got where he was coming from, and it seemed edgy at the time. And obviously, I progressed, and as I became more of an adult, you know, I've read all of Ron Paul's books. I've got most of them. I still don't have a picture of me at YALCON or something taking a picture with him. But, I mean, he's definitely there up close with many of my other role models. But I wanted to bring on somebody to kind of talk about the legacy of Ron Paul and how he really helped make freedom fun again. He met him way, way, way yonder back. And for the most part, he's been able to see how things have been these past like 17 years. I mean, when libertarian was nothing to when libertarian is now a household word. I think that he could definitely shed some light on the evolution of how he's seen things. For those of you that listen to the Lines of Liberty, you know, he's the baby daddy of that program. And you hear him on the Johnny Rocket Launchpad every once in a while, a bunch of other places. He's the one and only from Leesburg, Virginia, Howie Snowden. Howie, welcome to the Remso Republic.
Hey, man, happy to be here. Lions Liberty are huge supporters of the Remso Republic, and I guess I'm the only local Virginian.
We're basically neighbors, which is why I'm upset, yeah. Because you've never invited me over for a beer or anything. I'm only in Fairfax, but yeah, whatever.
The traffic here, though, is so awful.
But oh, no, my gosh. We got to do that. It is mad. The metro's like on fire and the cops won't even respond to the crime there. It's just not worth dying just to go see you. I'm sorry.
Yep.
but seriously, I mean, it is pretty cool. I feel like this is one of those full circle moments. I've had a couple of those in the past, but you know, Mark really inspired me to start the show. I always give credit to Mark, and he always says that you are the person that without you in his life, Lions of Liberty would have never been there. So, Howie, what's kind of like your story, man? Because I've heard it, but there are a lot of people out there that are like, wow, if it didn't start with you, none of this would have happened. Basically, you're the baby daddy's baby daddy of this whole thing.
So every time Mark says that, what I think is, but yeah, I wouldn't have brought you into Liberty if Ron Paul didn't bring me in. And I mean, I don't think anyone has done more in our lifetimes for liberty than Ron Paul is. He's one of my heroes, but I'm not one of those people that everything he does is right. Everything he does is great. I've disagreed with him on some issues. I didn't like some some endorsements of candidates he's made in the past, but overall, he's awesome. I think he's the best congressman we've had, at least that I know of. And he brought me in. He brought a whole lot of people in and got this whole thing started. I know a lot of people are all worried, like, where's the libertarian movement going now? But to me, compared to how little even what a libertarian is was known back in like 1998, it's moved so far in just a short amount of time. And I don't know, I'm excited about the future.
Definitely. You were not his intern, but you were an intern on the Hill at the time.
I was a congressional page, and I was actually working in the Democratic cloakroom, but we would see the congressman like speak and on the House floor every day. And Ron Paul just sounded so much different than everyone else. You know, they say that the truth has like a different ring to it. You could tell that he believed what he was saying, and the rest of them were just full of shit. He was amazing. And so I had a few conversations with him. He gave me some books that he wrote and stuff. I think it was Freedom Under Siege and one other one. But if I were to recommend a book by him to anybody, The Revolution and Manifesto, it's so concise, it's so clear.
You can get through it in like an hour.
Yeah, and it's such a great primer to what do libertarians believe. It's awesome. That's something that I would hand to anybody that's interested in what we're about.
Exactly. Would you ever in like a million years back then assume that he would have had such an impact, not just on the libertarian community, but really on American politics as a whole? Because nothing shocked me more than when during the 2016 GOP primary, you see Mike Huckabee talking about, the monster from Jekyll Island, the Federal Reserve, and how we need to end that thing, and how freaking what's the guy from New York?
He was even the concept of blowback being discussed in debates.
Well, somebody quoted Mises at one point. I think it was Pataki who quoted Mises. And I'm bringing up the undercard guys for a reason. It's that he was able to get that low. And then you look at the guys that were on the main stage. You had Rand Paul, Ted Cruz. I mean, you would not have a Liberty Caucus if it weren't for him.
Yeah. And another thing I'd like to credit Ron Paul with was, so I was convinced and, you know, bought the whole libertarian thing way back when I was like 17 or 18, read some other books by Harry Brown. But after time went on, after 9/11, I kind of totally dropped my principles. I believed everything they're saying about the wars in Iraq, and I was all for it until when he ran again and started speaking, and I realized like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is all a huge mistake. And so, you know, I had a little lapse, but he originally brought me in and he brought me back. And if it hadn't been for him, there wouldn't have been a Lions of Liberty, because he introduced the ideas of liberty to me, which I then introduced to Mark. Now I have Lions of Liberty, so I feel that my job is done. I've done enough for liberty, but
it's just now. It's like a strange symbolic 6 degrees of separation in a way.
Yep. And yeah. He's great. And there was so much momentum built up. It was amazing to me. Like I knew he wasn't going to win when he ran, but it was like, part of me was just, but well, maybe all the young people like him, the military supports him, but it says damn baby boomers ruin everything. But I really wanted to see this momentum continue. And everybody talks about how disappointed we are in Gary Johnson's campaign. But I think the real mistake was Rand Paul. I feel like he was the one that would have been perfect to carry on the legacy. I don't care if you have a R next to your name or an LP. I care about someone who wants to advance ideas of liberty. But Rand just wasted a huge opportunity and tried to court the neocons. You know, I don't even think he believes a lot of the things he was saying, but he was trying to play the political game. And I think he would have done, I'm not saying he would have won, but I think he would have done much better if he was a little bit more like his father.
Exactly. So, Howie, we've got cut to commercial break, but this conversation will continue in a moment. Folks, you're listening to the Remsa Republic. We'll be back in a moment.
Let's make freedom fun again. Join the Remsa Republic on Patreon today.
Hey, that's really good.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remsa Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
It's time to shake up your podcast feed, folks, by subscribing to Lions of Liberty, the only libertarian variety show out there. Spend Mondays with me, Mark Clare, as I feature in-depth interviews with great names in the libertarian community and fun roundtable discussions.
Electric Liberty Land with me, Brian McWilliams, every Wednesday, your weekly dose of comedy, culture, and liberty.
And Felony Fridays with me, John Odermatt, where I expose injustice in the broken criminal justice system.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty, rock and roll.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Back to the show. We're going to continue our conversation from earlier. You know, Howie, you just brought up the problems that Rand Paul faced in the primaries, and I've got to be honest, this is another thing that makes me really unpopular, and I'm always nervous to talk about the Pauls, because I feel like, you know, they have such like a cult persona in a sense. When you go after them, I mean, they're supporters, the real diehards, they're vicious sometimes, but I liked Rand Paul. I still like Rand Paul. But I knew from the very moment those presidential rumors were going around that he was not going to be president. You know, I was working in D.C. at the time, and I was able to see his campaign from the inside. And I mean, they were trying to really, you know, I'm not going to say pander to everybody, but you were right. He was just very kind of inconsistent at times with who he was trying to appeal to. And
ultimately, I supported Ted Cruz, so people won't like me because of that. But, I mean, there was a difference to an extent. I mean, I felt like with Cruz, he wasn't trying to necessarily, like, he wasn't trying to distance himself from Ron Paul the way that Rand was. I mean, it's really funny. I remember when they were setting up one of their volunteer coalitions, Liberty Leaders for Cruz, it was an entire ad of Ron Paul people talking about how they thought that Ted Cruz was carrying on the legacy of Ron Paul, and Ted Cruz is showing videos of Ron Paul campaigning with him when he was campaigning for Senate. And I remember the announcement for Rand Paul. I was excited because I thought Ron was going to speak, and I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. But he was relegated to the stands, and I felt like he was running away from Ron, whereas Ted, and people say this was sleazy, I could understand it, but ultimately I think it was kind of funny. He was running to Ron.
Yeah, and I don't blame him for doing that. It's Rand's mistake for making. I don't know if his advisor's telling him to do this, but the likelihood is Rand was never going to be president. And I wish we had someone on the national stage, though, that was able to get the message of liberty out. Use that opportunity to educate people. Maybe in the future we will have someone that shares our principles actually in a position to make some significant change. But not that, you know, Rand and Ted Cruz aren't making significant change in the Senate. It's good to have people like that there. But I don't know. I just feel like we missed an opportunity. And then when that was over and Trump got the nomination, I can't believe the way the LP dropped the ball too. And it's not even just nominating Gary Johnson, but the stuff that just continues to happen all the time. They're just alienating people.
You're not cool with them quoting the Satanic Church.
I'm not cool with them quoting the Satanic Church. I'm not cool with them saying that service members are murderers. And I'm not cool with even just recently. This isn't that big a deal, but it just bugged me. Like Alicia Dern was tweeting out that libertarianism is not right wing. It's like, well, it's not left wing either. Let's not alienate a huge chunk of our people that might be open to our message. It's just, it makes me embarrassed sometimes to be associated with the Libertarian Party. I mean, I love liberty, but something's got. I know you've become a Republican, but I feel like I'm going to give the LP one more chance. And if they blow it again and we get someone like Bob Barr or Gary Johnson with Bill Weld, I mean, that's it. On the local level, even this last election in 2016, we had J.D. Thorpe who was running. And when I was trying to find out some information about him, luckily I found the article that you wrote and realized that we didn't have a good libertarian option here as far as congressional candidate goes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you bring up Virginia, because I want to talk a little bit more about Virginia. And for people not here in the Commonwealth, trust me, this is important, because Virginia is like a microcosm for libertarian and third-party politics nationally, because a lot of what happens here influences what goes on at the convention and what goes on in the general. And it really is an example of, you know, the problems you see nationally, it happens in Virginia quite a bit. But Howie, right now we've got another election coming up, because we're so lucky that we get to have another one. We've got my buddy Cliff Hira going up against Ralph Northam and Ed Gillespie. Thoughts on that?
I haven't read that much about Cliff Hira yet, but from what I have read, he seems pretty awesome. He's a candidate I would be happy to support. I wish he would come on either yours or our podcast so I could learn a little bit more without having to do the hard work of researching.
Yeah, well, folks, go on RemsoRepublic.com and just search, season two of the podcast. So go on the website, click podcast, go season two, and you'll find Cliff Hira's episode there. I was the first media outlet to actually interview Cliff, and we talked a lot about policy, and he reminds me a lot of Rob Sarvis, and I'm proud to say, as a Virginian, as a libertarian, I'm so proud to say that I voted for Robert Sarvis twice, because he wasn't just a libertarian that got a lot of votes. He was a libertarian that knew how to actually talk to people. And, you know, I mean, he taught me a lot about things. He was really a mentor to my brother, Ryan, who was a volunteer coordinator for his campaign and stuff. And Ryan's the producer of my show. But he reminds me so much of Rob, because here you have a policy guy. Here you have a guy that he's not fake at all. What you see with Cliff is Cliff. Good, bad, or indifferent, he's an authentic guy. And, I'm still on the fence about you know, the November election, because I just remember how bad the Democrats were during 2016, and I was working on another campaign in 2016, and frankly, I don't want them to win. So I've got the little Republican side of me saying, you've got to vote for Gillespie because you can't afford Northam. And I have the other side of me saying, you've always stuck true to saying you're going to vote for the best guy. Might as well invest in him, get him a large enough percent. Who knows? Maybe in the Twilight Zone he can win. So in a way, I'm rooting for Cliff, and I'm still rooting for Cliff because I promise him very early on. I promised him, Cliff, I'm gonna bring attention to the fact that you're not allowed in the debates, and I'm continuing that promise. I have not committed to, you know, voting for him at this point. I mean, I feel like I'm going to, just because Ed Gillespie is Ed Gillespie, but I mean, it sucks.
It really
does. I wanted Denver Riggleman. I said that very on. I wanted Denver Riggleman. After he came on my show, I was like, Denver, let's go to Richmond and, you know, seize the governor's mansion and just take it from there. And then a week later, he drops out. So I was a little bit disappointed about that.
Yeah, I really hope Cliff can get his message out. I think it's something that people are eager to hear. It's just you need to embrace, like, social media, go on libertarian podcasts, all that kind of stuff to reach people. Because if people actually hear you and you are authentic and you, you know, say it like it is, and you're not just like any other politician, people want that. I mean, for all his, you know, warts and all, people like that about Trump. I mean, whether he's actually honest or not, it seemed like he was just, you know, saying what was on his mind and not trying to placate to everyone. I think if, you know, a good principled person who was just open and honest and was out there and got the attention, I think they could do pretty well. Maybe not win this time. Maybe they would, but soon. I really think with the election of Trump, everything's going to change. I think we're going to see people that you never would have thought could have ran and run for political office start doing so now. I'm hoping, at least, because we've got enough career politicians and lawyers.
Definitely. And, you know, to kind of keep in the tone of what we've been discussing, you know, it's the legacy of Ron Paul and the Liberty Movement. I was a big anti-Trump guy, you know, unlike a lot of others who folded last minute. I still didn't vote for Donald Trump in 2016. But, you know, I try not to just be an anti-Trump guy. I try and be a pro-Liberty guy. So I'm, you know, when he does something good, I'm going to congratulate him. When he does something bad, I'm going to bring it up. I tweeted out a couple of weeks ago, hey, Trump just got Russia to back out of the southern end of Syria and de-escalate force. He may have not only prevented World War III, but think of the millions of lives that may have potentially been spared. And I'm already attacked.
I certainly don't support Trump, but the terrible things he's doing is not what they're attacking him for. They're attacking him over such nonsense. I find myself defending him all the time, and I hate it. Like,
it feels weird. Did you ever see that movie, The Mummy? Not the crappy Tom Cruise one. I'm talking about the real one of Brendan Fraser. Yep. You know those scarabs that go in like people's skin?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel that. Like, honestly, I like to wear my MAGA hat. I have two. And, folks, check out our sponsor, MAGA Nationwide LLC. But, honestly, like, living in Northern Virginia, I like to wear it around because it's like trolling the liberals in real life.
Oh, that the left is the worst.
Yeah, and I love going after the fake news. But my question kind of is, you know, he's spoken very negatively of the Federal Reserve. He's not a non-interventionist, but, you know, candidate Trump and President Trump, to a degree, they haven't been as war hungry as Clinton. And he's made some good choices, whether it was his cabinet picks, his deregulation, his allowing of, you know, energy expansion in the United States, Gorsuch. I mean, he's done some good things. Do you think that is a sign of, okay, things aren't great, but half the stuff wouldn't have ever been in the radar unless it was for Ron Paul?
Well,
because Trump actually liked Ron Paul in 2008. That's a weird thing.
And the American people are sick of war, I think. I know when Obama's red line was crossed, he wanted to go to war with Syria, and the American people were like, no, we're not doing that. I mean, we still might get dragged in, but at least there's a reluctance now. So, you know, we talked about how there was this big missed opportunity, but the country, I think, is still moving in a better direction. The American people are less anti-war. We see more and more states legalizing marijuana. So a lot of these huge issues that impact so many people, I see we're making progress, and I'm pretty hopeful. And even Trump's an awful president, which I'm sure he will be, just the fact that the media is being exposed for being such liars and so biased, it kind of makes it all worth it to me. That's huge, and I love seeing that every day.
Exactly. Folks, we're going to go ahead and take our final commercial break, but we'll be right back after this. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, it's Jen Gray with the Leading Liberty Podcast, and you're listening to Remso Republic.
Visit RemsoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
Them yelling at me on Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
Large lady with like tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over, engine trouble, and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously, though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing, and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's PreussPodcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Well, hello again, America. It's me, Jeff Sessions, and I just thought that I would update you on what we in the Justice Department are doing for you. First off, we just passed a law that allows us to just have a little look-see, and you know, in Maryland, Virginia, and D.C., to ensure that the Metro Rail system is safe. Now, I know you're thinking this goes against not just the intent, but the actual wording of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. But that's only because you're reading it in English. You gotta squint your eyes and look at it in like an ancient Sumerian text in the super secret part of the Constitution that we don't let you public read. So until next time, America, we're gonna keep you safe. Not free, safe.
Because that's what really matters.
Welcome back to the final segment. We've got about 10 minutes left of the show, so I kind of want to wrap things up to kind of throw out some other questions. You know, I'm glad that we were able to touch a lot of different things, and especially here in Virginia. It's kind of strange because I'm seeing a lot of the big internet arguments about centrism and how to appeal to people. I'm seeing it take place up front and center here in the upcoming election because the Libertarian Party of Virginia kind of sets the pace for the rest of the country. And I'm just curious. You know, the thing I liked about Rob Sarvis was that he really, really was able to bring people from the left and from the right. I mean, at the time he grabbed my family, we were always, you know, straight ticket voting Republicans. But then, you know, like my parents, they, unlike me, I was a libertarian for about, you know, 3-4 years. My parents were, you know, they never stopped being Republicans, but they both voted for Sarvis. And, you know, that's how they rule. They were like, you know, I owe nothing to a party. I owe everything to principles. So I take a lot of, you know, I thank my parents for a lot of that independent thinking they've given me. But the thing I liked about Rob was that he was able to bring a lot from the left and from the right. And I see Gary Johnson, and he's just not bringing anybody really in 2016. But then, you know, in the last election cycle here in Virginia, you know, you had some libertarian candidates, sadly, that were like, if you're not 100% ANCAP on the record right here, right now, I don't even want your vote. If you vote for anyone but me, you're a freaking statist. How do you think we're doing messaging wise?
It depends if you're talking about messaging liberty or the Libertarian Party. I think the message of liberty is getting out. It's getting out there through like your podcast, mine, Part of the Problem, Jason Stapleton, all that stuff. And it's the principle to me which matters. So I love seeing that Austin Peterson's going to run for Senate as a Republican. As a Republican, he actually has a chance, but he's a guy who's going to move the needle towards liberty if he gets in there. And to me, I don't care what letters comes after your name. If you're fighting for liberty, I'm on your side. And I think the message of liberty is doing well. The Libertarian Party, I think, is just tripping all over itself. And
do you think it's worth the investment anymore?
I'm giving them one last chance.
One more general election or this election?
I don't know. I'll see how badly they disappoint me this time. But if we get to the general election and it's still the mess that it is now, I'm done. I'm never giving up on liberty. But as a political party, they've had 40, 50 years, and they've gotten nowhere and done nothing.
Yeah, I mean, people forget Ron Paul, his first presidential campaign wasn't even in 2008. It was in 1988 with Andre Marou. And no one knows about that. I know people who were part of the Libertarian Party. I call them the banana diet libertarians. You remember the banana fad? I want to make sure I'm not losing you here. Do you remember the banana fad from 2005?
I don't think so. Okay. I was living in Korea at the time, so I might have missed it.
Okay. The banana diet, and I love this, it was when people were going around saying, if you eat nothing but bananas all day, you're going to lose weight. But what are bananas? They're just potassium and sugar, and if you eat that all day, you're just going to blow up. But I know a lot of libertarians that came in just because it was hip to be anti-Clinton, anti-Trump, no real ideological leaning anywhere, and they went with Gary Johnson. And I don't even know where I was going with this. But anyway, it's like they come in, they come out, and then they just leave and they go back to wherever they came from. I want to say that we're independent thinkers, but at the same time, I think, you know, there's a lot of, if you're not with us 100% on things, then you're just not here. Do you think the libertarian movement as a whole is, you know, inclusive, or do you think it works hard to kind of exclude?
It's not. It's been pretty divisive. And I really think, I mean, they just need a better attitude and have more fun and just, you know, I mean, Ron Paul, no matter what was going on, was always cheerful while delivering the message. And he was bringing in people from like all sides. We need to be inclusive. We're so far from what any of these purists would ever want anyways. It's like, let's get to even close to there together. And then we could talk about that stuff.
Exactly. So, Howie, we've got to wrap up the show. If people want to, you know, link up with you, check out Lions of Liberty and all that jazz, how could they do so?
Oh, yeah, lionsofliberty.com. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or wherever else you listen to a podcast, YouTube, Lions of Liberty. Everything's Lions of Liberty. So, I mean, you can follow my personal Twitter if you want, but
go for it.
Probably not worth it.
I don't even like Twitter. The only reason I got Twitter was because FreedomWorks forced me to get it. And then after that, I didn't touch it for about a year and a half until I started the show. And I was like, I need to mark it. But anyway, Howie, thank you so much for being the baby daddy's baby daddy.
We'll get that beer sometime soon.
Definitely. I'm only about 20 minutes away, man. Take care. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Hope you had a great time. And, you know, regardless of how you feel about one group or one organization or one faction or another, liberty is fun. Liberty is inclusive because liberty looks out for the betterment of other people. And if we can go towards that direction together, you want to go 10 miles, I want to go 5, let's get there and then we can bicker about the rest. But there's so many great things we could do together when we're looking out for personal responsibility, limited government, free markets, and ultimately a respect for a fellow man. As always, I'll be here next week. Subscribe to the show, leave us a 5-star rating and reviews on iTunes. And as always, take care of your neighbor, go treat yourself, and tune in next week. I'm Remso W. Martinez, America. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?